You know, I've said that anybody can come on at any time on my show as long as they're not, you know, cursing or promoting something maybe that would be not of the light. But I don't put a lot of restrictions on things. I want people to feel like they have a voice. We all do. And we all can contribute. And, you know, I started at one time when I first started doing this. I was unsure. And most everybody I know was probably that way. People that are psychics and mediums or whatever, were when they first started doing readings, they felt the same way. So over the years, I've gotten to know a lot of different people and a lot of them through the radio station. And a person that I've known at least for probably 5 or 6 years now, I'd say, is Heidi Fisher. She's out of Iron Mountain. And I've said to her in the past, you know, you should come on my show and talk to me because we have these amazing chats. She'll call in and win prizes, and then we'll BS, if you will, for a while. And then, but, you know, I've seen just, she's come up with really interesting insight and lately, especially. And I thought, I want to hear more of it. So I'd like to welcome Heidi. And she maybe is a little nervous, but there's nothing to be nervous about. She's with me right now. How are you doing, Heidi?
I'm doing very well, TJ. How are you?
I am great. So how long have I known you? Has it been like 6 years or something like that?
I'm thinking it's probably been about 5 or 6 years when I became very interested in contests. And so, yeah, I'm thinking it's been about 5 years, which is amazing. It goes to show you how fast time really does go by.
Tell me a little bit about your life. Didn't you grow up downstate? Is that where you're from, Lower Michigan?
I did. I grew up in the Detroit area, and then my family started to migrate up to the UP. First my grandparents, and then my dad and my aunt, and then my brother. And I would come up to the UP at least, you know, 2 times a year, and I just loved it up here. And for the longest time, I thought about moving up here, and I would always, you know, back out because of fear. And one day I was sitting on my sofa writing in my gratitude journal, and it was like God said to me, it's time for you to go to the UP. I have work for you to do. And I called my brother, and I said, no one's going to believe me, but I'm moving to the UP. Hmm. And I need a place to live. And that day he looked out the window, and the gentleman next door was moving out of the upper flat. And to say the least, a month later, my dad came down and moved me up here. And it was the best move that I've ever made in my life. And I didn't know what God had for me for work, but it became very clear within a short time. And it's just really evolved from there. So I absolutely love the UP. I love the people here and just the beauty. And just we're getting more diversity here, which I'm really enjoying. So that's how I ended up in the UP.
So how long ago was that when you moved up here?
23 years ago.
Wow. And you're from the Detroit area originally. What did you do down there? What kind of work did you do when you're in Detroit down there?
Well, I worked as a travel agent and did a lot of traveling around the world with that job. And then I got into accounting. And then I've always loved children and had a really close bond with them. And I became a professional nanny, and
really?
I yes,
I didn't
and
know that.
I love that.
Interesting.
And yeah, and I lived outside the home, so it was great because I could go and be with the family. And when you're a nanny, you're so much more than just there for the kids; you're there for the whole family. And so I did that job, actually, until I moved to the UP. And then in the UP, I've done different types of work. I did accounting. I'm very much into the holistic, so I've worked at health food stores. And now I'm doing, my life has been led to do work with giving back to the community with nonprofit work. And that was definitely God-led too, because I wanted my life job to reflect the direction my life was going, which was really about giving back and making a difference. Mm-hmm. So I moved into nonprofit, and that's just evolved into some more beautiful experiences and connections and making more of a difference for the better.
So we've talked many times, actually quite at length, even while I was on the air, you know. You would call in and win a contest, and then we'd get into topics, and, you know, it would just be, and I'd take a break between songs, and I would, you know, talk to you a little bit, but, so you get to learn a bit about a person over time, and I think from what my perception, your insight is really, maybe it was always there, but it really seems like it's picked up a lot more in the last couple of years. Would you define that as things have changed a lot for you?
That is definitely true. I've always had the gift of intuition. Even as a child, I had this gift. And for a long time, I would discount it. And then as time went on, I was like, no, this is a gift that you've been given. And sometimes I'll see things and I will say something about it, and then other times I just keep it silent and let it just play out. But I would definitely say my life is on a new plateau, a deeper plateau. That's even evolved in the last year more. And so definitely the last couple of years has been a huge growing period in my life to something much deeper. And my natural father, who I was very close with, and he was very much of depth and very instrumental in my path. Before he died, well, first of all, he predicted all of the things with COVID. He died over 9 years ago. And he did say about the COVID that he didn't call it COVID, but he knew that there was going to be a virus that would come through the whole world. He said it will be very difficult for a while. He gave me ideas on how to prepare for it. And he said, but don't get discouraged, because after the difficult times, it will be a cleansing that the world needed, and it's going to be much, much better. And so I share that with people, and it has given me the strength to be positive during this crisis with COVID. And recognize that there's something greater going on in the world, and this is a part of it. But definitely my depth and the divine appointments that have been happening in my life with meeting different people, and that has definitely, you're correct, in the last 2 years, it's definitely increased greatly.
Well, I just know our conversations have changed. And we talk about, I think when I first started talking to you about some things, maybe, I don't know if you seemed open, but maybe you're going, he's a little weird. And then, and now I see you're bringing up things that, you know, that I've been thinking about and I don't really say about. But it's like, wow, it's like you really, for example, you talked to me how you felt people are really waking up. And you even made an observation about men, how they're changing. Do you want to share some of that?
Yes. It's really beautiful. First of all, I love the different generations. I think that the Generation X and the generation before that, I don't know if that's the millennials or if there's one in between there, I am finding a lot of them very enlightened. They are changing things in the world. And one of the things that I'm noticing is this beautiful balance that's taking place in love relationships between men and women, if people are open to it. And what I'm observing is that the men are becoming, they're expressing more of their softer side, and it's becoming acceptable. And, like, I see more men with their children, very affectionate in a loving way towards the women in their lives, their families. They seem to have more balance with work and personal time, where they know they want to work hard, but they also recognize that personal time is also very important. And the other thing I see is with women, I see women becoming, having more strength. And so I think it's this beautiful balance and change that's taking place. And one of the things that I think is women have, as a woman, I'll speak from this point, I think we've always had this strong inner strength, but we a lot of times accommodated the world and didn't show that. And now with some of the things going on, I started noticing this balance with male and female relationships after 9/11, because I think the men were drawn towards the, even if they wouldn't necessarily know what they were seeing, they knew that the women had this inner strength that helps to sustain our society when things get really tough. And men have that physical strength, like going off to war and being on the camp combat. So not that I agree with that, but anyways, what I see is this beautiful balance. And again, it's if people are open to it. It's not everyone, but I do notice with the younger people especially that this is happening, but it's something that can be expressed at any age, because I don't think age is really a factor. You know, you can have someone young that actually is very old, and you can have someone older that actually is very young. I think it's a mindset.
Mindset, and maybe also it depends on, I would say, lifetimes, experience, like everything in life. If you've lived many lifetimes, well, then you can have an old soul in a young body. And the same thing right. as an older person, you could have an infant soul or a baby soul, whatever you want to call it, in an older person's body, and they've been chaotic their whole life, you know? And
it's like, exactly.
So in a way, it's part of that. But what I think I like what you're saying about, because this adds up to me. When you talked about that you see people being more balanced, you know, one of the things I've heard before we can ascend as a group, as a planet, and you and I have talked about ascension, we need to be balanced. And so mm-hmm. when you start telling me you saw that, it's like, uh-huh, that's another piece of the puzzle. I've seen it as well, but I just don't know if others have noticed it. Now, certainly not everybody's that way, and maybe not everybody's going to be that way, and nor do they have to be that way. But I think there will be those that will receive it. Tell me, we've talked about this a little bit, and you have a friend that's talked about ascension. What are your thoughts about that?
Ascension in what way?
Well, are we ascending towards the fifth dimension? Is the earth going that direction? You said your buddy there, your friend said that we're already there, that we may already be in the fifth dimension.
I believe we're already at the start of it, because things have already started to shift big time. And even before COVID, things were starting, in my opinion, starting to shift. I do think that we're already in the fifth dimension, which is all about love. I believe that's true. I believe we're already in the midst of it. And it's interesting, because as soon as I meet someone, I can tell whether they're following light and love, or I will say God, or if they are still following the worldly ways. Mm-hmm. It's becoming to me no middle ground. And I can sense that, because I'm very in tune to energy. I can sense energy even from a distance, and including loved ones that have moved on, but I can sense energy with people, places, things going on. And so I do feel we are already in the fifth dimension.
Hmm. but we're still living like we're in the third, right?
Not necessarily. I think, it's an individual thing, and it's a growth thing, because even if we don't recognize it, we're always growing and learning, and we each have our own path and our own journey to follow, and we each have gifts that we bring here. And I think that God gives us the freedom to choose whether we're going to, how we're going to use those gifts, if at all, and how we're going to grow, if at all. So I think sometimes there's a certain comfort in familiarity, and sometimes people just want to stay in that space because it feels safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other people where, like, for myself, I've always been on a continuous path of learning and growing, and I love to learn from other people and from just hearing their life stories. So, and in the last year, I've had several teachers that have come into my life that, had they not come into my life, I can tell you I would not be where I'm at even at this very moment.
Who are some of those teachers, if you don't mind? You don't have to give me their full names, and maybe they don't want their name, but just would you mind sharing some of the things that you've learned? Because I think this is vital for everybody. We don't always recognize nothing happens by accident, and people come into our life for a reason, and a lot of times we don't take the time to listen what they have to say. Do you mind answering who some of those are?
No. In fact, it's interesting because these... The one individual is from another country. He's from Colombia. And what I'm discovering is I'm meeting all these people from other countries and finding out that what I thought was going on in the United States is pretty much true. Our lifestyle, and I do believe this is part of the reason why COVID is going on, our lifestyle in the United States is... For most, a lot of people, has just been very fast-paced, and in other countries, I'm finding out that that's not necessarily the case. Like, they have more of a balance between work and rest and family, and so I met this gentleman, and again, it was a divine appointment. I was at the laundromat. And that Sunday, I wasn't even going to go, except to be honest, I was down to my last pair of clean underwear. I'm like, okay, if you want to edit that out, that's okay.
No, that stays in. That's good.
Okay, so I was not even going to go to the laundromat that day, because normally the laundromat's very busy, and it was busy that day. And I just tend to, I like to talk, but I'm finding I'm being led to more of a quieter space. I like my quiet time, too. So, and that is something I'm learning because, as you know, TJ, you know me well, I have the gift of gab, but it may not be as good of a gift as it used to be. So I'm learning to tone it down a little bit and to learn to listen a little bit better. But mm-hmm. It's a learning experience for me.
That's good.
So... Anyways, I went into the laundromat, and I couldn't figure out why my cat had been by my laundry basket. Well, when I got to the laundromat, I realized he had put his toy in my laundry basket. And so this gentleman was sitting at a table, and I lifted up the cat toy, and I said, oh, my cat must have wanted his cat toy washed. And this gentleman came over, and he gave me the biggest smile I think I've ever seen in my life. And it opened up the door for a friendship. And he has been one of my greatest teachers in life. And one of the things is I had been on this path of simplifying. And he was too, but he was into more minimalizing, down to like basically everything you could pack into a suitcase. And that was so appealing to me. And so... I ended up getting a call on March 16th that I was to stay home from work because of COVID. And I have literally gone through my whole house and basically gotten it down to just what I love or what is necessary and given away the rest. But this gentleman, too, just taught me about just not worrying, living in the moment. and just enjoying the moment right in front of me. And then through him, I met this other gentleman from Puerto Rico. And I also noticed the same thing with him, just like more living in the moment. My friend from Puerto Rico is very enlightened. And so anyways, I have learned a lot.
When you say somebody's very enlightened, because that's it depends on how people see things. What are the things about him that you think make him enlightened?
Well, for one, he does believe in past lives, and that I found very interesting. He believes, because I dream very vivid dreams, so we've talked about that and how people can come to visit you in your dreams or you get messages in your dreams. And then also, I learned about he does these soul-to-soul connections. And he does them between 1 and 3 in the morning because he was telling me that is a point of preparing and growing in the fifth dimension. He said that is the most receptive time to be doing that. And so anyways, I woke up one morning and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what happened to me in the middle of the night. But I knew something extreme had happened. Like, I felt like almost like a totally different person. So the next time I saw him, I said, I have a question for you. I said, have you been doing these soul-to-soul connections with me? And he said, yes. And he smiled, and he said, what is coming through to you? And I shared with him, and he said, that's what I've been sending to you. So then I asked him exactly how he did the soul-to-soul connection. So what I do sometimes is I'll do the soul-to-soul connection, but then I also do a heart-to-heart connection. And that's something totally new for me that I learned from him. But he's aware of chakras and organic food and just more, again, living in the moment and enjoying where you're at right now.
How did you, do you know how he came to this, how he became this person? What, usually in somebody's life, you're either raised that way or you're exposed to something or it just comes to you, I think. And a lot of times it just, when you're ready, the enlightenment will come. So did he ever discuss where he got that information from?
I think I asked him one time and I can't remember.
It's okay.
Something happened to him. And then actually I met another gentleman too from Argentina, and he had an experience where he had been having health issues, and he said basically he was lifted up out of his body. And my friend from Puerto Rico too has said that he's had out-of-body experiences, and I had one of those several years ago. But anyways, the gentleman from Argentina said he was in the hospital and all of a sudden he saw himself like lift out of his body, and he came back down and knew immediately that he was healed. And then I met another person recently who's a medium, and he actually had a near-death experience and said he really didn't want to come back here, but he felt the message that he was supposed to use more of his medium abilities to help people.
Hmm. I've heard those stories over and over again, and I've had some of my experiences myself. So was there a time when what we're talking about right now, this would have not been something you were open to?
No, because even as a child, I was very curious about things. Like, I can remember even as a child, like, you know, I would play with Barbies and stuff, but I was always more searching. And my dad moved to a commune up in Canada when I was about 9 or 10, and I went up there for 2 summers, and It was the greatest experience of my life. It was a great experience, but it also was instrumental in forming more of my depth. And so I think even as a child, I was born with this curiosity, and it's just been a lifelong journey. It's always been there. I think now I'm just more in tune to it.
Okay. I remember we had a lot of conversations, and I just was asking that question because I didn't know if you thought, if you were open to some of the things I was talking about, or has it always been, we've talked about a lot, you know, I know over the few years that we've known each other, because if you'd ask a question, then I'd be glad to tell you what I thought, but that
right.
But that doesn't mean that I never stop learning either, because you can look into all things and everybody can have a different viewpoint on something, and maybe it can get you to see things in a different light, because even if we think we're enlightened, we probably aren't 100%. So I always keep that open possibility of, okay, what else? That's why I like talking to people. You just gain so much. If you listen and you ask the right questions and people are willing to share, and you have to gain their trust. And
right.
Then it's amazing the things that come forward. Now let's talk about Kirby. Is it Kirby, right? Your cat?
Kirby is my cat. One of the things I want to go back to myself, I will listen to what people have to say, and then I go back into my quiet space and digest it. And sometimes, too, I won't grasp it until maybe later. And so I do a lot of thinking in the quiet, and I sometimes will talk to people and you can tell, like you were saying, you didn't know how I felt about certain things that maybe you said. But most of the time when people say things to me, I will go back into my own quiet space. I like to go out in nature and I will really think about it. And I think also a lot about my impact towards other people. And so I do a lot of thinking, and a lot of people, they, like I said, they might say something and not think that I got it, but I do really, listen and learn a lot from other people. So, and that trust is huge because, trust takes time, and it's not something. Sometimes you know right away you can trust someone, and they know that they can trust you. Really, I think a lot of what's going on in the world is because of mistrust. There's a lot of people that are questioning the establishment, which I think is good. I think people need to question what is going on in the world, in our government, in our food, in our environment, and this COVID, I believe, was created to produce fear and division, and I can sense the energy of it changing even in the last couple weeks, and I think it's really important for people to, myself included, to not allow it to cause division, because I think that's one of the reasons why it's been created. And
you're saying you're saying that you think that one of the reasons for this being created was to create division?
Yes, because the thing is people's, a lot of people, what their security has been placed in is being pulled out from under them. I mean, everything is changing. But again, I believe in the bigger picture down the road, it is going to be for the better good for the whole world. And I do think eventually it's going to bring back more harmony. But right now, that's where I think we have to make a choice, because I think we need to be aware that I think the higher powers to be are hoping that it will create distance and division amongst people. And so I think some of these things that are going on that are being spoken up about, I think are really good. And I know when the I don't have TV. I don't have a computer. I get my news from hearing about it from people, because I figure if something big enough happens in the world, I will hear about it. So when I heard about all these protesters rushing the Capitol building, when I said to people, I'm actually glad that it happened, I got very mixed responses.
Wow,
on that.
You said that?
Yes, I did. And I'm going to say, first of all, I'm not happy about the destruction to the building or that there were some lives lost. But I'm happy that people are recognizing things need to change, and they are letting the higher powers to be know we want change, and we are taking this seriously. We're not going to back down and let ourselves allowed to be manipulated anymore. So to be honest, I'm glad the protests are going on. I wish they were more peaceful. But I'm very grateful that people are questioning things, because for a long time, a lot of people were just going along and not really thinking or questioning things. And now that's all changing. So to be honest, a lot of people were very surprised when I said that. But I think it spoke volumes as to the frustration and the desire that people have for the need for change when they rush the Capitol building.
You know, that is a really, and I'm thank you for that honest, because some people would be afraid to say those things. And I agree with you that we should question everything, all of our institutions. They've just, well, we believe it's this way, because even our holidays, you know, we have a holiday, and who do you think creates a holiday? And because they want to make money, holidays are created.
Right.
And we just follow along. Well, I've got to get this present. I was just reading statistics about people. If they don't get the right present, they get upset, and relationships, and they might even dump someone. I'm thinking,
right.
How is that love in any way? And this is what it's come to. And it's not like that. Probably, you know, your friends in other countries probably don't see it that way. But in America, we have a different view, because we've been programmed so much, and we are beginning to step away and see this. And I also look at these events that you're talking about, like what happened. I believe, being totally honest, and I never want to talk about division on any of my podcasts. I'm not here to upset anyone. I want to create harmony and,
right,
and love and. But sometimes, you know, you speak honestly. And I think whatever is shown on the news, and I've been this way for over 30 years, I tend to think just the opposite. So
exactly.
When they tell me something is this, I think there's more to this than we're probably
right.
being told. And they do things to get people riled up. They even create events, I believe, and I'm not saying that is the case here, but there are many times throughout our history you can look, and an event led us to a war or to a changing of public opinion. Is it just a coincidence? Even, here's a good example. Remember the Maine, and we went to war with the Spaniards, and they attacked the Maine and blew it up. Well, now, over 100 years later, they're saying, you know, it might have been an accident. And then there also, here's another tidbit, too, that I found out about, is that we had a tax on our phone bill till probably into the 90s, I believe, that was paying for the Spanish-American War.
And they
said, oh, you know what? It's all paid for. We just realized we're still taxing you. We're going to take that off your phone.
Interesting.
How many other things are they doing that have already been paid for? So when you look at, there's so much of it to look at, but I'm glad you brought that up. That was incredible insight and courage to speak what you did about that. And it's not just like one side or the other. I'm not talking about picking sides left or right.
Right.
I'm kind of right down the middle with most of my thinking on it. So
Well, and like you're saying, division, why I brought that up is so that people are aware so that that doesn't hopefully occur. So that, because if you're aware of things and it's something that you wish that's not going to happen, you have choices in your own life to try, like, let's say, okay, I don't want to have division. There's things we may not be able to change the whole world, but we can change the choices we make. So the only reason why I brought up the division is so that people are aware that I do believe that with the higher powers to be, when you create division, you create control. And so if people are aware of it, that this is also a form of control, they might be more aware of not having division or creating it in their own life. So, but I also agree, it's interesting we're doing this interview right before Valentine's Day, which, you know, for men is like the world's worst holiday because they're just thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to get for my girlfriend or wife where she's not going to be mad at me? And, you know, really, if you love somebody, you know, other days besides Valentine's Day, you don't have to worry about one day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, for me, I've never been materialistic. I would much rather have someone express their true, sincere love for me as a person and their respect for me as a person and me back to them. It doesn't mean that we don't do things sometimes that might be hurtful to ourselves or others, but that's where grace and love really come in, where you say, you know what, I see beyond your behavior. It doesn't mean that we put up with someone mistreating us, or they don't have to put up with us, you know, me if I mistreated them. But if you truly love somebody, you recognize, like you said, we have all these life experiences, and sometimes it can cause us to do things. And that's where I believe grace comes in, where you can say, sometimes even if you can't be in a physical presence with this person, you can send love to them still and say, I can still love you, not based on your behavior, but because of the beauty of the person that you are. And I see beyond your wounds to the beautiful person that you are, and I still love you, even if it's from a distance.
You know, I was talking about this on the radio, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, but I think it was yesterday, and I figured I don't want people, you know, they might, some people might take it the wrong way, but I said, like with Valentine's coming up, why do we have to keep proving love for ourselves, for the other person over and over? Why do we have, if you love someone, you love them, and you do it through your actions and your words perhaps as well, and this is what I do with my wife, is that I'm there for her. I do surprise her with things, but she doesn't want that. She's like you in that respect, and but she's grateful, but she just mm-hmm. loves the little things I do to go out of my way to help her or make her life better or make her favorite meal or whatever. And it's those little things that show you that I'm tired, I got home from work, but I'm going to do this because my heart is always filled with that joy for everybody that I meet. And so it's giving of yourself to me is the most important thing. But it seems like in our society, you have to continually prove, if you love me, you'll do this. And if you love me, you'll do mm-hmm. that. And it's like, that's because we're conditioned. We don't really maybe understand what love really is. It's in the end, to me, I don't know how you feel about this, Heidi, but it's very unconditional. The fewer conditions, the better. And so we think we have to possess and control somebody. This person's mine. In reality, mm-hmm. how could you ever do that with any soul? Souls are infinite. They go on other journeys. We don't possess anyone. And it's just a temporary journey that we might share with someone, unless maybe it's like what they call a twin flame. You might share several journeys, or what some people call a soulmate. You might share, but in the end, it still is an individual journey that we have to allow them to take. And
right.
So I like the way you said it. And it was, you have a lot of great wisdom. Now, I want to get back to Kirby the cat.
Kirby.
Kirby, if you're listening, meow for us.
He's I will tell you about Kirby. My home is Kirby's. I only rent from Kirby. He has all his little pillow perches. Last night, I had a paper bag on the floor because he likes to run in that. And he has two stuffed animals, small stuffed animals, on his pillow perch by the front window. And this morning I got up and I'm like, well, where is the other one? Well, he had carried it in his mouth and put it into the paper bag. And he is quite the cat. People that normally don't even like cats love Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
And I had another cat, Annie. She lived to be 21.
Wow.
Yes, and I kept saying, I could see that she was getting older, and I was like, God, what am I going to do when Annie is gone? And God had it all planned out, because he actually led me to Kirby before my Annie died. And so Annie went to heaven, and then a week later, I brought Kirby home. When I went to see him for the first time, I already knew I was going to bring him home because I felt like it was God-led. And Kirby had been dumped outside in the middle of winter and extreme cold. And this couple found him. Thank God they were out there walking. And he was shaking in fear. And the story behind Kirby was he was so afraid. He had burrowed his whole body in the litter in the litter box except for his face at the animal shelter.
Wow.
And they actually were going to put Kirby to sleep because he was so afraid. So he got fostered, and I will tell you now, would never know that he had that experience, but there's a special bond with Kirby and I because he took... he didn't take the place of Annie, but he took away some of that sadness, and he brought this extreme amount of joy, and I also feel a bond towards him because I feel like somebody was not kind to him, but now he has someone that just loves him. I mean, I just love him so much, and...
I know he means a lot. That's why I wanted to go back to Kirby.
Okay, yeah, so...
You know, and animals... are just, we don't always realize that they're much more than what we think they are. They're psychic. They're really here to guide us. You know, others have told me this. They're here to guide us on our journey to finding our way back to love. And you look at the unconditional love that they can. Now, cats are different than dogs. And that's what I like about cats. I love dogs too. But cats will love you when they feel like it. I'm not going to love you right now. Meow. But later on, you better be ready because I'm coming in full force.
And, that's right.
And that's what, it's like humans. We expect humans to love me now. It's like, I don't feel like it. But a cat a cat teaches us that we have to let go of that, right?
Right. They do. They teach us, the other thing they teach us is how to just, you wake up every morning and you anticipate. Well, hopefully, you know, there's some animals that live in situations where they don't wake up and figure they're going to have a good day. And for those animals, I pray for them. And I also pray for the people that are mistreating animals, that their hearts will change. So anyways, but every day, you know, my Kirby wakes up and he just is so full of excitement about what the day's going to bring. And he's an indoor kitty. So, you know, his life is a little bit more laid back and... pampered,
now, wait a second. Don't you torture this poor cat by putting him in a baby buggy and wheeling him around?
Yes, I have a cat stroller, and it looks just like a baby stroller, except it's snapshot, and I roll around the neighborhood.
Now, is he dressed in some kind of costume? Because I imagine him in this costume.
No, he's got his blanket and stuffed animal in there, though.
Okay.
And it was the talk of the neighborhood because... my ex-husband lives two doors down, and the neighbors were asking, did Heidi have a baby? And he says, oh, no. That's crazy Heidi with her cat with the pet stroller. So it was quite the talk of the neighborhood for a while.
Big scandal.
It's okay.
A big scandal. It was a big scandal. She had an affair with the milkman, and look what she's bringing around. It's a love child. A love child.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's okay. I've had many people question me in my lifetime and wonder, what is up with this girl? And I can tell you what, I can handle it because I have myself baffled sometimes.
So then you're telling me before we do the interview that you've been listening to some of my podcasts, and Kirby will go and lay down on this laptop, on this tablet?
Yeah, what happened was I started noticing when I was playing your podcast that he would hop up, like I would put the tablet on my sofa, sit on the sofa, and his pillow perch is right behind, and he would just like be really mellow listening to your voice, TJ. And then last night, he actually came down and laid on half of the tablet. Like he wanted to get closer to your voice. And the gal you were talking with is her name Rihanna? From Renata, who's in Costa Rica now.
Yep, Renata.
Kirby just laid on top of the tablet last night and listened to the... But I think he's drawn to your voice because the one time I listened to just yours and your voice and a message you gave, and he was the same way.
So I was, I was joking around that has nothing to do with me. It's probably got to do with he's got a hairball and the vibration of my voice probably helped clear it out. But here's what I'm going to throw out as a theory, not regarding to what him laying on. Has he ever laid on you?
What he does is at nighttime, especially in the winter, he comes up and he snuggles by me under the blankets, and I put my arm around him. And a lot of times he sleeps like that through the night, but then usually after about 10 minutes, he'll go down towards my feet and
really?
I put his blanket around him. But then in the morning, he likes to lay on the pillow by my head.
Interesting again. And I'll tell you why I think this is all interesting. Here's what cats, from my studying of the metaphysical, do for us. Unlike dogs do things for us as too, but cats are amazing. They open our chakras. They will pick a part of your body that needs healing or opening. So my cat sometimes used to lay on my solar plexus, the chakra there. Sometimes he'd lay on the top of my head, right at the top. Circled around my head when I was a kid, and it was, and I would have these amazing dreams and out of body experiences around that time, and I never put it together, but he was opening up my crown chakra, and I would say your cat Kirby is doing the same for you, and then also,
interesting,
isn't that? And then you mentioned the bottom of your feet. Well, that's where a lot of people that are energy workers will work, at the bottom of the soles of your feet.
Right. Right.
And then on top of that, they also are defenders. And I don't know if you saw, it was an old Stephen King movie. It was called Cat's Eye. I believe that was the name of it. But Drew Barrymore, and she was being attacked by this little nymph, this little spirit. And she had a little cat. They had gotten a cat for her, and this cat was fighting this little spirit. It was like he was batting at it, and the spirit was only like about 12 inches high. And in the end, the cat finally pushed him into like a blender, I think.
Oh, geez.
And got rid of him. But it's in a way, it's true, because cats, they will protect you if there's any kind of darker energy around in the room, or it could just even be spirits. And dogs generally tend to run away from that. So this is why cats throughout our history have been valued for what they can see the other side. They can see spirits, as dogs can. But they also really are here to assist us. They're very psychic. The fact that you have a connection with them, with your cat Kirby and your previous cat, good for you. I like hearing the stories about Kirby.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, how you say they can tell if you have a spot in your body that needs healing.
Mm-hmm.
My cat, Annie, she kept pawing at this one spot in my body.
Interesting.
And I was like, what's going on? And then when I went for a checkup, they said, you know, you have a lump in this area.
Wow.
And I couldn't feel it. And fortunately, everything turned out fine, but she knew because mm-hmm. I kept wondering, why is she keep pawing at this area? And I couldn't feel anything, but then when I went in for x-ray, it became visible, and so the doctor said, you know, we'd like to check this. And, you know, like I said, it ended up being fine, but she knew that there was something going on in that part of my body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. Dogs and cats and all animals, you know, they're much more psychic than we are because they haven't lost that connection. And mm-hmm. we think of them as simpler creatures. And somebody explained it to me, it was a pet psychic. They said, these souls that exist in these animals are no different than yours. They've just chosen to be of service. And we all go through different journeys throughout our spiritual evolution, which is never ending. And so they have decided to, they're willing to sacrifice and put themselves in a more limited body, but they come here to assist us on our journey of enlightenment. And some of them, well, they're all really will give up their lives for us to, mm-hmm. even like with deer, you know, I've had several deer that have jumped out in front of me when I was in a state of being upset and they lost their life. And I thought, at the time I didn't realize it till I did more studying on this subject, they are there to awaken gentleness within a human being. And so after I came to realize that, you know, things at work used to upset me. Not anymore. And so because the deer showed me that, and when I stopped thinking that way and being that way, they stopped jumping out in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And now if I see one poking his head out, Heidi, it's like, okay, TJ, be prepared. Something's going to go down today, but it's testing you. It's testing you to remain calm. And even though you have a reason to be upset, let it go and hold your space. So that's the way I see it. You just have a wonderful cat, Kirby. Good for you.
Yes. Well, this is interesting because about a week ago, I was coming back from Spread Eagle. And there was two cop cars and an SUV and another truck on the other side of the road. And I looked, and here was this deer that had gotten hit, but it was still alive.
Mm.
And the next thing I saw is the police officer coming up with his gun and was going to end this deer's life. And I looked into, just driving by, into this deer's eyes, and I just started to cry. Like, I cried. I came home and I called my friend and I just cried because this deer just had these eyes of looking up as like, please help me. And I just said, you know, these animals have spirits and feelings inside of them. And I could see that in this deer's eyes. And I knew that, you know, it was the humane thing to do, but yet it just touched my heart, and I've always had mm-hmm. that soft spot for animals. And I mean, when I see things like that, it just touches me because
how
you
are
know
you feeling,
that they feel.
How were you feeling prior to that?
I was frustrated because I had gone to a store to get my organic wine, and they had increased the price $5 a bottle.
So here you are feeling a certain way, and then this incident, which is not an accident, you were meant to witness, as was everybody else who was a part of it. And this is arranged by a higher power, or if you just want to say by all of us, really. And these things are meant to play out so that it gets you back on course. And we don't realize it at the time. Does that make sense?
You know what? I never connected the two. But yes, I had gone to the store that I have gone to for years. And I had a great connection with the previous owner. And now they have new owners. So I had to special order my organic wine. And it was my friend's birthday, so I ordered her one too. And when they rang up my order, I was like, well, how much is my wine? And I realized it went up $5 a bottle. I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, organic wine's my mainstay. So, not really. But I was upset about it because I was like, you know what? That is a significant increase in one bottle of wine.
You got to make your own. You got to start stomping some grapes. Anyway, go ahead.
There you go. There you go. I do want to talk about one other thing if I could, TJ.
Sure. Go ahead.
Do I have time for that?
Absolutely.
Okay. I have these very vivid dreams. I've had these since I was a child. And sometimes the dreams are visits from people from the other side. That's a whole nother aspect of things that go on with me, is a connection to people from the other side. Now, this I denied for, and I would not tell people this, for the longest time. And now that I'm more open to it, the experience happens, and I get a lot of messages that way. And I really believe that our loved ones that have moved on are much closer than what we think. And I've had so many experiences like that. And so I know there's a lot of sadness for people when those we love move on, but I just feel like they are so much closer to us than we know. And like I said, I never used to tell people about the experiences I would have, but now I'm more open about it. And I actually had, when I was going through a very rough time, this was probably about 7 years ago, I had woken up, I went to the bathroom, I was fully awake, and I laid that back on the side of my bed, and I felt Jesus on the side of my bed. And his hand was reaching out to me, and I didn't physically see him, but I could just sense it. And the message was, don't worry, Heidi, I always walk with you. And then I lifted up out of my body, and I could see myself. And I said, Jesus, I'm not ready to go yet to the next plateau. I need to be here for Kirby. Hmm. And I immediately slammed back down into my body.
Hmm.
I've only had that happen once, but that is really one of those points when I can say my step onto this deeper plateau, that was one of the big, huge turning points and stepping stones for me. Because I realized for myself, I never walked this path alone. And I believe that we're all interconnected. And I started thinking about karma recently, that not only my actions, but also how I think of others is creating karma.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm becoming much more aware of even my thoughts of people.
Absolutely. Not just only does it create karma, perhaps. I don't know if it creates karma by the way you think about them, but I would say it creates our world. So the more we hold on to all these things, they hold us back. And they say any negative thought, any judgment, which is so hard to eliminate. But then again, I just made it real by saying that. You know, maybe it's really easy to eliminate. Let me correct myself. And so these are all things that keep us, I believe, from fully ascending. And these are all things we're meant to overcome. And we will. I think we will. And
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I've been guilty. My verbal mouth has gotten me into trouble, and I've had to learn, and I'm still learning, to not lash out when I'm upset. Mm-hmm. It's a learning experience for me to say, okay, wait a minute, what's going to be the result of this, and what harm are you doing to yourself, not only to that person, but also you, Heidi? And this is very big learning experience for me to step back and say, wait a minute, why are you doing this? Why do you feel the need to lash out, and why do you feel like you're not being heard? And so that's a huge thing I'm going through now is to learn to not be so defensive, because I had 4 or 5 people in the last couple years tell me, do you realize you're quite defensive? And I had to go back all the way to my childhood and recognize why I was so defensive.
So you think it came from that time period?
I do.
And see, as you were talking, a thought hit me. It also came from another lifetime.
Possibly that maybe there were things I didn't complete in another lifetime.
Things that you weren't heard, especially if you've been in a female body in those other times, women were more silent. So I think this is why a lot of women now are finding their voice or trying to find their voice, because men have not been so good to women throughout in the past. We've had a patriarchal society, which was by agreement, I believe. And what we're seeing now, as you say, the balance is returning. It's the return of the divine feminine, my friends will tell me, and I believe that truly, that we are seeing this energy return, which is meant to balance out all of us. Because each of us has a little bit of a both energies that exist within us. And I can't say what your journey was for, but I would see, you know, myself, knowing myself, there are things in my previous times that were things I had to work on as well. And some people would even say there are multidimensional you. There are many yous right now playing out different roles. And so there's a lot of that going on too. It's not as simple as we say, well, if I go back to my childhood and I remember things. There was a book written years ago by a man from Toronto, and he was a psychologist, and it was called Life Between Life. And he had found that by regressing people back, a good example was a man who had a lot of pain in his knee and doctors couldn't figure out why. Well, under hypnosis, he was able to realize that he fought in a war in another lifetime, and he got his leg shot off. And so when he remembered that his leg was shot off, the pain went away. So
interesting.
It is. And then he also discussed what happened between lives. So how we pass and then we plan. You know, we spend some time with loved ones and we do things, and then we meet with a council of all loving beings, and they say, you want to go back down there? Here's your karma. Here's what you did. You want to accomplish? And so we make that choice to put together an outline of how we want to come back down here and what we want to do. But
well, my friend from Puerto Rico had recommended this book, Many Lives, Many Masters.
Mm-hmm. I know that one. That's a good book.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so, and he also believes, you know, we're here to learn. And then when we learn on what we are called to learn here, then we ascend to the next.
There's
next
many levels of consciousness. Yep, many levels.
Mm-hmm.
One could look at what Jesus said, in my kingdom there are many mansions, and I look at that as there are many levels of consciousness. In heaven there are many levels of consciousness, and you will, there are those that would say you will reside after you pass to the one you're closest to. That's where you will go, and most of us wind up going to the reincarnation one, but there's ones beyond that, and that's not a bad thing. It's just that this is how whatever consciousness we create, we keep in that consciousness. We have the ability to lift it out. And I think that's what's going on now. That's what ascension is about, to get us to realize that we can go anywhere we want. We don't have to return to physical earth if we don't want to. We can move beyond that. There are many, many worlds to explore out there, levels of consciousness. And that's what's cool. I think it goes on. How could it not? It's always expanding. One more thing, if you have time. Do you have time?
Yes. Yeah, and I wanted to talk about that because I helped my natural father walk through the end of his life, and I was with him the last night he was alive, and it was the most peaceful experience of my life.
Mm, that's cool.
And he said to me, I'll always be right here, and would tap me on the shoulder. And there's many times I feel this energy on my right shoulder where he tapped me on. And anyways, he taught me to not be afraid of death so that I could live my life.
Mm-hmm. Really well said.
And yeah, and when I tell people being with my dad and helping him to make his transition was the greatest experience of my life. Again, that's one of those things I say that people are surprised, but I said what it gives you is it takes away the fear of death so that you can live. That's what it did for me.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And that's similar experiences that I've had. And with people that have crossed over and come back, you just learn that we have nothing to fear. Even if you've been a rotten human being, you know, there's a thing called karma. And even then, the other person that you've been rotten to has to accept it. And I think we're coming into a time of greater awareness where karma is going to disappear too, because they'll say, why? What do I gain? You stabbed me in the last lifetime. I have no desire to stab you. We're good. We're good to go. There's no payback needed. But I wanted to, you had mentioned something about your brother and an accident, and I know you've told me this story before. Do you want to talk about that at all?
I do. My brother and sister-in-law, 11 years ago on Christmas Eve, were hit head-on near Cedar River. Mm-hmm. And my brother, to be honest, shouldn't even be alive. His brain, I won't go into detail, but major brain trauma. Right in the medical records, it said he's not going to live, just make him comfortable. And anyways, it was really bad. And they didn't know my brother, like with his brain, how he would be or anything. Well, he came through, and he couldn't talk for a whole week, but when he couldn't talk, I would say to him, you know, Chris, if you know I'm here, like squeeze my hand or move your leg, and he would. So I knew that he could hear me. And the amazing thing was on New Year's Eve, that happened on Christmas Eve 11 years ago, and on New Year's Eve was the first day that he began to talk. Hmm. And the first thing out of his mouth was, I just want to tell people how much God loves them. Mm. And from that experience, people say, how can something that was that bad have good that comes out of it? There has been so many good things that have come out of that. And one of the things I want to say, our family did not have any contact at all with the gentleman that hit them head on. We do know he lives in Escanaba.
That's okay.
We want him to know that he is forgiven for what he did. Hmm. That we hope that he has peace, because what happened was not a total devastating event. There has been much love that has come out of that. I'm not saying I'm glad it happened, because my brother especially will have lifelong effects from this. But if that gentleman gets this message, we want him to know that we hold no bad feelings for him. We have lifted him up in love, and we hope that on Christmas Eve, he doesn't remember the accident, because my brother doesn't remember it, and we hope that this gentleman can just feel the love and how God used that event for something greater. And so going through that experience, that was a starting point of, like, 8 years of my family having many big challenges. But out of that came also many blessings. And so when people are going through really challenging times in life, I will say to them, please, I know this is hard to hear because it's challenging, but please look for the blessings, because they will be there. And sometimes you don't see them right away. And anyways, that experience with that car accident has led to many, many blessings. And so forgiveness doesn't say, okay, irresponsibility, you know, may have caused this. But forgiveness says, we understand you're human, and we send you love. Our whole family sends this gentleman love and peace. And we have absolutely no hard feelings towards him at all.
That's good. That's amazing that you've come to that point, because that's what I think the whole thing was about. As an observer, sitting back and listening to the story, there's so many things we can learn in life when bad things happen. And obviously, it's one word. It's always pushing us towards one word, and you just said it, love. And we fail to realize that. And love comes in many different forms. But the worst things that have ever happened to me have always been the best. And
right.
People, you don't see it maybe right away at that time. But down the road, not that I'm asking for these things.
Right. I like to have a good, happy, enjoyable life. But when things happen...
Right, you can deal with them.
Let's put it this way, when shit happens, you know what, it doesn't always stink for the whole time.
That's a good way to put it.
You can edit that out too if you like.
No, I'm going to leave it be as it is.
I actually like to enjoy life, but you know what, life is, there's many twists and turns, and to think that everything's always going to be easy is just, it isn't life. And the thing is when we go through challenges, we grow and we learn if we're open to it.
You know, there are some people that would breeze through life. They won't have much going
right.
on, and they'll admit it. And people say, well, how come? Because that's what they chose. So some people believe that you have to line up all these challenges in your life in order to grow. It depends how much you want to grow. But growth doesn't have to come from bad things. I really believe that. And that's part of the matrix, in a way. We're convinced that the only way to learn is by going through this bumpy road. And it can be a great way to learn, but if you get it, you don't have to do it anymore. If you get
The thing is, that's where I'm at now. I'm like, I don't have to create drama in order to grow.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I can create light and grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is, I think that's one of the things I've learned in this last year is, you know what, it's like, it's okay to have good and have blessings
mm-hmm.
and wake up every day and say, man, I enjoy life and learn from it. And
absolutely.
So I agree with you. I don't have to create challenges or drama in order to grow. I can grow from light now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I'm at.
Good for you. And that's kind of where I'm at as well. And I can't say that my life has been overly filled with drama, but I've had a little bit. And most of it was self-inflicted. And once I got past that way of thinking many years ago, it changed. And you still are going to have moments where loved ones are going to leave, but if you understand what the journey is, then it's not as, you can still feel a little sad, but you can also feel very happy because they're on to another journey. And the journey never ends, and we will, at some point, if they want, and we want, we will perhaps meet up with them again. And if
right.
not, we will know that they're a part of us and we're a part of them because we're all one, really.
And right.
It's coming to that point where you're at right now. It's so nice to see and hear because
thank you.
It's like, I don't know if you were that way a few years ago when I talked to you. I don't know if you were quite at that point, right?
I was not at this point. It's
mm-hmm.
it's definitely not. And I know several other people that are close to me have said the same thing. Boy, and somebody, if they haven't seen me for a while, say, wow, what's going on? You know, like you're like very youthful, like you look vibrant and at peace. And so I guess it's, you know, showing on the outside,
mm-hmm.
but I enjoy life. There's so many things to enjoy in life. And I feel grateful for the blessings. And I wish everyone to experience just a beautiful life, and that's my word for the year is beautiful, because every year I pick out a word, and I think inside we're all beautiful, even if we do things that may not look that way. Our inner being, every single one's inner being is beautiful and love, and that's what I wish to see in people.
Well, that's a perfect way to end the program, unless there's more that you want to add. Is there anything else you want to say?
I just want to say namaste.
Namaste. Love and light. And I always say love and joy, because I think at our core, that's what we are, these joyful, happy. We don't realize it here, but there's that pure bliss, joy that I think we are. And so love and joy to you, Heidi, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and gracias.